are now listening to Cults in the Catacombs. These films exist.
What are we all? Are we all drinking our spicy waters?
Well, tonight? I don't know. See, I'm. You got your Bishop.
Ding.
See, it, I got myself a cocktail from my Rainforest Cafe glass that we.
Oh, I should have got my Rainforest Cafe.
And there she goes.
She's away.
So
now we're waiting on her to come back.
As Courtney is. Taking off to go get her glass. Welcome to Cult Cinema Catacombs, folks.
Yeah.
For those who are not seeing this, she just like took off like a fart in the dust, and now she's got her glass.
I have some ASMR for you.
Oh. That's just peeing.
I was gonna say that's the sound of peeing.
It looks a little like pee.
Ooh, yeah. That's if you're diabetic.
Like unhealthy pee.
Yeah, if you're diabetic, that's. You should probably have that checked out, Courtney.
So we're here to talk about a few things. We're here to talk about because
the Rainforest Cafe.
Yes, we're gonna We're here to talk about Rad from the 80s because Courtney just saw it for the first time and
yes,
I revisited it. Andrew also recommended to us to watch something on Netflix that is a lot of fun that we're going to cover also, The Bash Brothers.
Lovely, lovely palate cleanser that we deserved. We've had a rough couple of months.
And we're going to reveal which documentaries we're going to be watching for Documentary Month. And then I'm also going to choose the three films we're going to watch in July. I've got those up and locked and loaded, ready to go.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yes.
I do want to say I'm going to challenge the... notion that it was a palate cleanser when the time comes.
Okay.
I'm gonna challenge your
I mean, I loved it. I'm sorry, spoiler alert, I loved it.
I mean, we all love it. Nothing we
I want to shake for half not butt.
Because yeah, Roy was going to be absent this month, so we weren't gonna do
oh Jesus, are you okay?
My mic just fell into the
Please tell me you've named your mic Iceman, because he's
it's like
so
Ariana Grande holding on to a potato is what it looks like right now.
I'm gonna do that with it.
If like, you know, you know.
Feelings.
So, look at the way he's cradling it. For those who can't see it, he's cradling it. Like, yeah. What a lovely tea party.
No, we weren't supposed to be doing anything, and then we decided that they were showing Rad as a Fathom event, and we were like, well, we're going to do that.
Guess what we're doing.
Not going to do that. Then I was like, oh, I was driving down the road, and I was like, and it just jumped into my brain, if it wouldn't have been for Velvet Goldmine, what my unconventional musical was the Bash Brothers experience. So I was like, we need to do that. It's only like 30 minutes long. So yeah. Here we are.
I love it. Tell us what led you to this, Andy.
Yes. As
to
we
what?
Sip out of our souvenir glasses from the Rainforest
we'll
Cafe.
Get there.
I feel like
we'll
I'm being there. Interviewed for a job at the Rainforest Cafe.
Were you silent or were you silent? Oh, shit. Do we have a slide whistle now?
No, yeah, I have a melody pop.
The freaking melody pops. My kids love those things. They
got
to
die. He's got a soundboard.
So
candy from 1992.
Oh, yeah. So as Andy's describing this, I'm going to be sucking on a succulent
melody pop. What am I supposed to be talking about?
I was just wondering. wondering what made you pick this as opposed to any other unconventional musical. Oh. Why was this going to be like, I'm just trying to get to know you.
Velvet Goldmine.
You're my friend, and I just want to know more about you.
Longer. It was longer is my answer.
It was longer. That's fair. This was only about 30 minutes.
It was longer, and it was queerer, maybe.
Ah, that's a toss-up. It's only a little queerer.
Yeah, it's not much. You more explicitly. Not...
It's just like the blush and then the Barbie sex, and like that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I will say
you get some scenes in Bash Brothers that they're teetering.
I think our boys are aware of it.
They like to lift women. They do not have sex with a woman in the entire thing.
Well, no, that's because they told the women told them that we don't have sex with baseball players.
Jenny Slate's so good in it.
Everybody is amazing.
I want to say right now, first and foremost, that it was very odd to hear them name check the mall I worked at in the 90s, where they were like, we're going to go get our pagers at Hilltop Mall. And I'm like, holy shit. And then when they're showing the images of the interior of the Hilltop Mall, I'm just like, it never looked like that. It never looked like Gazooks blew up all over the place.
It was more sterile looking than that. As a former very frequent shopper at Gazooks.
Who was it?
I was in the fifth grade in 1998.
It was so odd hearing that. And also at the same time, it made me think, okay, you guys lived in Oakland, which is about to drive from Oakland to Richmond, California, where Hilltop Mall was, would be like the equivalent of me here living in Irving, driving all the way out to Frisco.
it's like across the metro area.
And the thing is there were three malls in the Oakland area during this time.
But they had a flying Lamborghini.
They did. So it takes no time, first of all. Second of all, I assume that malls in California are much like Chili's in the DFW area, where there's always a good one. No, let's not go to that Chili's. Let's go to the good Chili's.
See, in Hilltop Mall, I mean, there was a mall in Concord, California called Sun Valley Mall that was better than Hilltop Mall. So I'm surprised they didn't check that, but they went with Hilltop instead. But then again, Hilltop Mall at the time of the Bash Brothers was known for being where you would, if you didn't go to Beeper City in Berkeley, California, you went to Hilltop Mall to Beeper's Emporium.
Okay. I'm learning a lot about beepers and where to get them.
That's information that you will absolutely use later.
Real quick.
Just like my theater degree.
I'll have to see if I can find a commercial, one of the homemade commercials for you guys, and send it to you that they used to do in the Bay Area for Beeper City, starring the superhero Beeper Man.
Nice.
With cape and everything. I want to say we had one too.
Wow.
I want to say we had one too. Maybe it was one of those things that was like, we'll copy, you know, how local commercials will copy markets. Mm-hmm. And it just goes and it ends up being just slightly different in every market. I do want to say that the Bash Brothers experience proves that the universe is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
and unfair. And destructive at the same time, because the line "shake four halves of butt" appears, and the fact that there's nothing funnier.
Shake four halves of butt.
Two people have four halves of butt. Who? It's a testament to the genius.
That's the genius and the majesty of
humanity.
Island.
And our ability to overcome any obstacle when we work hard enough, that line exists.
I want
to
say
the fact that we haven't acknowledged it as a society as the funniest thing that's ever been created proves that there's no justice in this world.
Between that end, and I'm Mark.
That whole moment nailed it because Andy Samberg nailed the ego of Jose Canseco. And then I can't remember his name. The other guy,
Mark McGuire.
He nailed how boring Mark McGuire was.
Also there.
And that's the way it was. Every interview, they were there. They're huge, giant men, just
huge
titans.
Not only in not only in the statue of their career, but physically, physically also thanks to the gigantic.
Literal, and, like one of them was the tornado. It was the titans, like the actual Greek.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark McGuire had two versions of my neck,
and he would. And they would have these interviews, and basically he would just say, I'm Mark. Like, yeah. That's all. That was the extent.
While
like,
chewing gum. Yeah.
Yeah. Always chewing gum. They I'm were sorry. Everywhere.
Sitting sorry, there like distracted. This because he can't fold his arms.
They can't put their arms down. Sorry if there's noise that's going to start coming through. There's like a huge storm hitting like on my house right now.
Oh, is it finally here?
Yeah.
Okay. I really have no notes on the Bash Brothers because they just, I mean, the way they nailed the absurdity of that whole entire time period, especially when Jose Canseco decided to turn turncoat and narc on everybody.
I do love, this is a beautiful transition piece between our unconventional musical month and our documentary month.
It really
they
is.
Really stuck to the facts on this. They did a really good job. Historians, and I know this. You guys know me. I'm a big sports head. I love everything about baseball.
You're,
I know it all.
Baseball.
Bases.
Yeah.
There's running.
There's slide whistles.
There's sliding. Yep.
When you're coming around third, going to home, there's that.
There's the
been
slide.
Been there for 30 years, the slide whistle noise that they play.
There's hot dogs.
There are so, beepers.
Beepers.
I mean, silk robes and kimonos.
I don't have to I don't have to justify me being an expert in this. I am. I'm sports. No, we
it's,
know
it's
that.
Well known. Mm-hmm. It's well
I'm
known.
I'm sports and it's all really accurate.
So Courtney, what was your response to seeing Sterling K. Brown as Sia?
I loved it. At first the dissonance was such that we didn't necessarily recognize him because we were trying to put a musician in there. And I was like, that's someone. What musician? That's not a musician. That's not, who is it? And then it hit both producer Craig and me at the same time. We're like, oh my God. It was about maybe 15, 20 seconds after he appeared the first time for us
Sterling
to be like,
K. Brown.
Who is that? Oh shit. We know who it is.
And then you've got Maya Rudolph and Haim. Mm.
You know, the best song ever recorded.
Shake your ass. Yeah. Shake your ass.
Aggressive.
I really the thing about that song that I love the most, and it might be one of my favorite novelty songs.
It's probably my favorite one.
My favorite novelty song is at the end when they're threatening him to shake his ass and they're backing off.
So close to him, just like zooming in.
Like what are we doing?
Shake your ass! Shake your ass! Shake your ass!
I do think Charlize Theron is in this. There is a scene earlier than that, one of the earlier songs where he's on a chain link fence on the street and there's a girl with him. I am not unconvinced that that's Charlize Theron. I've watched it now like 3 or 4 times and every time I'm like, I don't know who else that could be.
It's the sort of thing that she would say yes to because she's cool.
It's the sort of thing she would say yes to Lorne Michaels for.
Yeah.
She's you a know? Like, how'd they get Haim for a night? Just like, hey, Haim, you just threw the musical guest on SNL.
Like, sure, why not, you know? But what I loved also is that in the closing credits, they bring in Joe Montana.
Yeah.
And have it got, he
God,
nailed.
God, it was so funny.
He nailed how white Joe Montana was. I'm Joe Montana.
It was the classic old school hip hop. Joe Montana, and I'm here to say that I play football in a major way. And it was only a little better than that.
Yeah.
If you have,
I loved it.
Not seen the Bash Brothers Experience from Lonely Island.
Perfect. It's beautiful.
You gotta. It's hilarious.
I'm not unconvinced that he didn't die in that car wreck, and the rest of it is. Just his descent into purgatory. I'm working on that theory right now.
I mean, we saw the tree of life, you know.
I mean, we saw him die.
and we saw the Tree of Life get dead. So
we did. On that note, I think my favorite part is two. I'm tied. One is the almost philosophical transitions. They're very, very close to philosophy, but they're not there. And
French
also
impressionism, but it's like French Canadian impressionism.
Very that, yes. And then my other thing that was my favorite was how many times they rhymed baseball with baseball.
Mm-hmm. That's a Lonely Island. That's a trademark. Yeah. That is a stamp of approval. Yes.
That was very good. I loved it. No notes.
No, so I literally didn't take notes.
Yeah, so we
took 4 notes and I said them all.
So we go from that to a movie that we really needed to take notes on, which was the 80s movie Rad. Which,
oh, he got his notebook out. I left mine in the car. I'm so mad.
But
no.
Oh, her running commentary through the whole film was spotless.
I just kept it was.
Courtney, I just found this out from Andy earlier today. The original title for Rad is Balls Out.
And the cop, right before he arrests, looks him dead in the eye and goes, "Go balls out," which would have been the title.
He would have said the thing.
Yeah. He would have said the thing.
They took that away.
They say Rad a million times, they do. So it doesn't count.
No.
No.
So before Courtney and I saw it, because we got to talk about our theater experiences also.
We do. This was a full experience. Yes. It was lovely. And we had very different theater experiences, yes, in my understanding.
Yes.
Because Courtney and I, we decided since we're at Grapevine Mills, and Grapevine Mills is a tourist trap, we're going to go to the Rainforest Cafe.
It was delightful. I had a margarita and a hurricane glass.
Yeah, so did I. And then I had a shrimp platter that was $29.99.
I did. I had a coconut shrimp basket that was $25, and I felt
pretty bad
all day Friday.
Catcalled by an animatronic orangutan, that is a lot of money for that.
Yeah, I had a gorilla behind me, and she had an iguana next to you.
Oh, we need to put that on the Facebook page. We need to put the pictures of us.
Are you kidding? That's going to be the photo for this episode. Are you kidding?
Is me and the iguana, or you and the orangutan, or the gorilla?
You with the iguana. That's the photo for this episode. And then also we also bought queso with chips, but this wasn't the traditional queso that is Velveeta with Rotel. This was Cheese Whiz with a little whisper kiss of paste picante salsa on top.
It was fine. What am I, the Pope?
It was fine.
It was $12. This place was such a tourist trap. It took about, 30 minutes for us to get our food?
First of all, they all seemed a little confused that it was just two adults.
Yeah, and not a family.
They were like, I felt like they were trying to decide if we were on a date or what we were doing.
It's two non-binary looking people suddenly coming in to the Rainforest Cafe to enjoy the food while every few minutes a rainstorm happens and all the animals are going nuts. While at the same time, we're hearing Taylor Swift playing in the Rainforest Cafe. And then if that was not enough, we're close to the door for the kitchen and we're hearing crash, bang, bang, clash, clash all over the place. So we have a symphony of animal sounds.
I would call it a cacophony, yes.
Kitchen sounds and Taylor Swift.
Andy, how many people were there besides you?
It was full. There were so many people. We had to be put on a wait list.
Who goes around for 20 minutes? Like,
who goes? That isn't going there ironically, which, let's be honest, you went there ironically.
We went there ironically, 100%. But people were there for we had a family right behind us that brought their precious little baby girl.
Like a baby.
Baby, baby.
And they sat her right next to the gorillas.
To the fucking gorilla.
And they kept saying, oh, look at the monkeys. It's the monkeys. And I kept going, apes.
When the rain
storm they were
hit.
Trying to get her Harambe?
I think.
Well, when the rainstorm hit and the lightning crashed, which is just like boom, boom, and it goes off.
It is loud.
Add to all the sounds that we were describing. Now add to that the sound of a baby screaming its fucking lungs off.
Sure.
And
she
we're
kept
like
it together pretty good considering. Yeah.
So it was quite admirable. The experience.
It was quite wild. Coconut shrimp was fine.
It was fine. Food was good. Fine.
Good.
But you know what was not fine was the fact that there's a fucking Build-A-Bear workshop now in the dead center of the gift shop of a Rainforest Cafe.
Like a whole working, functional
like guy. And then the machine, and he was just like...
Yeah, he was bored, just kicking it there.
And, like a surly doxman.
And the base price now for the bears at Build-A-Bear Workshop start at $30. Remember when those fucking bears were like $15 or something, and now it's like a basic pink teddy bear, $30.
Thanks a lot, Biden.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Harambe.
Thanks, Harambe. You really
We walk over to the Grapevine Mills
AMC. We got to walk through a Forever 21.
Yes.
You do. That's the weirdest thing about that mall, I swear to you. You have to go through the liminal space of a Forever 21 to get to the other side of.
90s Betty Boop t-shirts were on the rack.
Oh, yeah.
It is 1994. Sure. We fell into a time loop. We are inventing the podcast right now.
We are.
Because it is 1994.
This is being broadcast on ham radio.
It's really wild.
I'm still in 2024. How we're doing this. This is working.
It's the movie frequency is what it is.
Oh, okay. Are you Jim Caviezel or am I Jim Caviezel?
You're Jim Caviezel.
I'm always Jim Caviezel.
Somebody else be Jim Caviezel once?
Yeah.
You know what else we walked by?
I don't even like QAnon.
We also walked by the Destiny's Child denim outfits.
Oh, yeah. They had little teeny distress marks.
Yes.
But like all over them.
Mm-hmm. And glitter boots. Glitter cowboy boots.
We came very close to buying some glitter cowboy boots and sending them to you, but I didn't think we could figure out how to get your shoe size without spoiling the surprise.
We were going to send that to you with a copy of Cowboy Cotter.
You think, let me just be clear about, in all of the probably safely 70 to 80 messages that are sent through our group chat a day. And that's not I'm not exploding that number. That's probably accurate. In any given time, there are four different topics that are being talked about. You think at any point in there, you could have been like, hey, Andy, what's your shoe size? And I would have thought, oh, shit, they're in Grapevine Mills. They're going to get me those rhinestone cowboy boots this time.
Oh, and they were blue.
They were blue and very glittery. They would have gone really great with the shirt that you're wearing.
And they had that wrinkled look to it.
That you didn't just Hail Mary a shoe size and send them to me. I'd have made it work.
Listen, I work pretty close to the Grapevine Mills Mall. I don't live that close to it.
Sure.
But I work pretty close.
So
I go back to Forever 21 is what I'm saying.
So
I'm going there tomorrow anyway.
Oh, well, you should probably look at those boots.
You had a full audience for yours.
There were only three seats unattended in the entire theater. It was 111 seat theater, and 107 or 108 of those were.
They put it in a 300 fucking seat theater for us.
One of the big ones.
And it was a total of 18 of us in there.
Was it really 18? It felt like fewer.
And even when we went to go buy the tickets, we're like, yeah, we need tickets for Rad. The woman at the register was like, Rad?
She was like, okay.
Are we doing that?
And then she finds it. She's like, oh, there it is.
She said something like, she guessed what we were going to watch because apparently everybody else was going to see, was it Ghostbusters? I don't know what it was.
Ghostbusters.
She was like, oh, Ghostbusters? We're like, no, Rad? And she was like.
She became the Chick-fil-A girl all of a sudden. She's like,
yeah, you don't have any sauce, that girl.
We were in front of two people who we later found out were extremely high.
Oh, yeah.
Like the kind of high where like your face is red and streaks down past your face. It's like that TV high.
crossed the cross Rubicon into ridiculously high. Like, yeah.
And they apologized.
After school special high.
Yeah. They apologized. They were like, we're sorry if we bothered you. And we're like, are you fucking kidding? We got our own running commentary going on here.
I was like, I didn't even know y'all said anything. I was too busy talking through half of it. And making Roy do this. He was going.
I was just giggling the whole time. I'm like, oh my god, why am I not recording this? Is what I was thinking in my head.
There was a part of me that was like, should we just put the voice memo on and then just like sift through?
Especially the part when they started dancing the Sparks and they came out in those matching uniforms.
Oh my god!
By the way, I found out
from V.
Yeah, they're from V.
Sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
No, it was beautiful. I liked it. It was quirky. Yeah,
it was from V.
I believe I said, why are they dressed like Mork from Ork?
I did too. I did, but I was like, oh. But I said it about Lori Loughlin and her mongoose jump too.
Also, liked that hers had like a titty window. Everybody else's came up here for protection, but hers were like, look.
Yeah. Look, I'm Lori Loughlin.
They won't let her race. In the
they never really explain why they wouldn't let her.
No. Also, why I think her name was Kathy.
Christian.
No.
No. The other person.
Girl.
The other girl is Becky. Why do I know this? Why am I an expert on the movie Rat?
Because you just pulled that out of there. But there's no reason that Becky Loughlin's shouldn't have been able to race, right?
Lori Loughlin's character's name is Christian.
Yes.
There were multiple, like, boy names as girl names in this movie.
Yes.
Because the sister is Wesley, not Leslie.
It's Wesley. Wesley. It's not short for anything. It's straight up Wesley.
Yeah.
Get this brilliant naming. So, Olympic gold medalist turned actor, Bart Connor. His name in the movie? Bart Taylor.
But he wasn't an actor, so when somebody said Bart, he was going to look.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't... He needed that. The behind the scenes interviewed Bart, and he was like, "Well, I won all those gold medals. I was looking for something to do, and then this movie."
I was bored.
that was the reason he was in the movie. That's it. Like,
I love how Courtney the entire time you're like, "Why don't they just let that little gay boy live his life?"
Just let little gay Bart Taylor live his life. Let him be gay. It's okay to be gay.
He doesn't really
come off as straight.
Well, first of all, yes. But he doesn't really show. He's got these stereotypical 80s bad girls that they're going to throw in any movie, whether it's Karate Kid.
They came right off of Whitesnake Hood.
They did. They came sliding off the hood of an IROC Z and into this movie.
They really
They were Tawny Katang all over the place.
He had no real interest in them.
No.
At all.
Gay.
Gay.
He had some interest in Christian, but not really.
He wanted her outfit.
He wanted her outfit, and he was very, very interested in the twins.
Oh, I do want to say about the twins. If you're watching this, thank you, Michael Ian Black, for allowing your face to be applied to those twins for the entire movie.
They do look exactly like Michael Ian Black.
Yeah.
So I think if you had your notebook with you during the entire time, based on your just full-on reactions to the sequence, I think the scene that Courtney would have had the most notes for was during Bike Boogie.
I loved it. I think it was fantastic. And I do have a theory about this, and this is a beautiful time to bring it up. I am 100% convinced that Lori Loughlin can't ride a bike. Like 100% convinced.
You're saying that throughout the whole film, and the audience was agreeing with you.
I started saying it louder and louder, and people started laughing. And I was like, that woman can't ride a bike. Because there is not a single scene in this movie where she is on a moving bike and also her face is in the shot.
She can't ride a bike, she can butt slide and she can give college advice.
I have the most notes on college advice, because if there's anyone that should be giving college advice about how and when to take your SATs, also how to cheat on your homework to help a local boy make good, it's definitely Lori Loughlin, right?
Definitely Lori Loughlin.
Nose clean, Lori Loughlin when it comes to anything collegiate. just get out there, not pressing it at all.
And I know I'm usually the person for our beautiful audience. I'm usually the person who's like, let's take this plot beat by beat. And we didn't do that with Bash Brothers because there's not a plot. And we can't do that here because there's also kind of not a plot. Like, there is. But we just have to talk about the things that happened.
Don't you walk away. Don't you. Oh, you made a mistake.
You're going to.
So my first note, my first beat, if we're going to try to go beat by beat. In this, where was this town?
It's Canada?
It's supposed to be in California, but it was filmed in fucking Canada.
Sure. But it was rural like California. Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody in this town had a problem during the late 80s with a thing called the Hell Track during the Satanic Panic. Right? They just let that go.
No one was like,
that woman got up.
You want to know why? Because Dungeons & Dragons was never sponsored by 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Or Hell Track was sponsored by 7-Eleven and Kix, because they wanted to make sure you knew they were sponsored by Kix, because one of the obstacles in Hell Track is a fucking giant cereal bowl filled with Kix, and you have to dive into it and drive up the spoon.
Yeah. And they were eating Kix in more than one scene.
Yeah. Oh, you mean in the my next note, which is, did they just find a house to squat in?
I don't know. Why is there a house in a lumber yard?
Just a house. And they apparently have a fairly permanent residence there. Their shit's all over the place. They got power.
They're able to plug in a boombox and stuff.
I also love that when him and Lori Loughlin are driving down, like, one of the most, which is supposed to be scenic California, but it's neither.
And it's like the video for Allentown by Billy Joel.
I mean, it looks like something on the outskirts of one of the refinery towns in California. And she's like, oh, this is beautiful country. I'm like, where's the fucking beauty in this scene?
No, she was looking out a window at a lumberyard and she was like, it's so beautiful. And I was like.
I do. Roy, I want you to try to find something or isolate something in the movie. They have a parade where they bring, very once they parade. Agree, once they know that they're having the Hell Track race and it is upon us, they bring all of the rider. Yeah, this movie happens.
This parade is wonderful. Not. You got a great parade here.
This is another movie where time has no meaning.
Yeah, I mean, it does like explain why they have no floats.
Or it could be 3 days. We don't know. So,
well, yeah, I mean, they had to go an extra day because that woman had a cake to bake, so she had to interrupt the parade.
Yes.
We're going to get the cake lady.
Find that scene. Just the part where he moves the barricade because she said it's un-American to have a parade where this she can't so bake her cake, Karen. So isolate that scene. The first scene where Clue sees Christian. He looks like he just saw a deer get hit by an 18-wheeler. His face is amazing. Please find that and drop it somewhere in our feeds.
Yes. Why is it not and all her of our face, background?
I think her face is just reacting to the faces he's making.
He's just like...
Because she's like confused. And he's like...
Well, he gives the same face after she jumps over him in the bike. And invites him to, you know, bike boogie with her. And he's
this
like,
kid should be in jail.
And then when they go to let us jump to bike boogie. Well, because
get to that, this is very short. Can we talk for just a moment about how he looks exactly like Tony Danza?
Yes.
A little bit like a thinner Tony Danza.
Yeah.
Like a thinner in the face.
Let's real quick talk about the whole family. So he looks like a thin Tony Danza. His sister's foul-mouthed Punky Brewster.
Yeah,
I like that. I liked her.
And then they made Talia Shire look like the most frumpiest mom you can think of.
They were trying really hard.
I mean, they went from like, okay, let's take the way she looked like Adrian in the first Rocky movie and make her frumpier. I mean, they did her dirty in that movie. It's like, she was in Rocky. She was in the Godfather saga. And then they do this to her.
Well, my thing about that character in this movie, in any other movie that's like this, the kid defies the parents to go follow his dreams. The parents push back, but eventually they come to support their child in his endeavors.
Now, I'm on single mom's side on this, because if this is like 3 days, she already paid for him to take the SAT, and I'd be kind of pissed if he just didn't show, because it was like $60 for me to take the SAT.
Yeah, but he Ferris Bueller'd his way into like $10,450 in that
and a 2 days.
Corvette.
That's true.
Well, that's before he wins the $100,000 in the Corvette. But she never comes around. She
not really
says you can do it in the most passive-aggressive way possible.
Even when she sits down wearing the most matronly outfit you've ever seen in the 80s, and Miss Pie Woman's like, oh, he's such a nice boy. You know, she's
and still her only like, response was, and I'm Mark.
Yeah, she just came from her bus and trunk of the Scarlet Letter. She just walked off of stage onto that stage, sat down with what looks like a Bible, but I'm guessing is her handbag, and never makes a facial expression.
Yeah, she is dressed very much like Mrs. White. She really is. I mean, and, you know, it looks like the only fun she has is ironing in the basement of some place, or maybe in some steam room or something. I don't know where the hell she was at, where she was doing the ironing. I've never seen a basement look like that. And we really don't have basements in California. So I was just like,
certainly not.
Where
is we know. House? Here's what we know about the geography of their house. They have a small C-shaped kitchen with a little dine-in and a giant garbage bag that he can throw his
sister
in. Really
weirdly big trash can.
Yep. And then they have a weird room where she irons. They also have what might be a living room where he forges his mother's signature.
No, he doesn't.
Might be a living room, but it might be a bedroom.
Right?
Hard to say.
Three rooms.
Yeah.
And a weird raised porch. A very high porch.
She forges it for the headphones.
She does forge it for the headphones.
He tried to do it. He failed. He forged her signature badly many times.
And by the way, I love that this was before the PG-13 kicked in, because bullshit was thrown around so much.
She said shit a bunch of times.
That little
kid said shit a bunch of times.
Yeah. There were also male and female just nips everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just side boobs and nips. Just
like Jennifer Aniston in the first season of Friends, just all over.
I mean, I had to remind myself that just because we're way more puritanical now, we were not. In the 80s.
Not during the Reagan era. Nope.
We could do that shit. Side boob. Nips.
And then we have Ray Walston.
Tight pants.
Who tight basically pants. Looks like he just walked off the set of Fast Times at Ridgemont High to do this movie. Just being Ray Walston.
I mean, I will say this, and I made a note. Ray Walston was, what was this character's name?
Oh, boy.
Oh, what was his name?
Tiller, something like that.
I think
it was Mr. Timmer.
He Academy Award winning level press just really delivering
the delivery on of the middle finger. Yeah,
yeah,
not once but twice.
I liked it.
Just great at it.
I loved his face between guy who hates that crew knocked off his donuts and coffee out of his hand, this face, to I'm on crew's side, which is this face.
Yeah, there's a little bit. Yeah, I was going to say, there's a little bit over here.
he had that face that looked like it was a cross between George Bush Jr. and Clint Eastwood.
Go ahead.
I was just going to tell the audience what this movie's about, because we haven't actually talked about that at all. We haven't mentioned bikes for more than about 3 seconds.
I actually got a story about this movie from my childhood also.
Wow. Well, no, the short version is this movie is about a boy who likes to ride BMX bikes, and he does it in wild and interesting ways, and he enters a bike tournament, and he does a good job, and Thunder in Your Heart plays.
And he defies the odds of a greedy salesman because he wants to have Burt Connors be the face of BMX bikes everywhere, but this kid, he's got thunder in his heart, and he's got moves like lightning.
His moves are like a lightning.
Still pissed. I will forever be pissed at this movie, because Break the Ice is not the theme song. It's not the theme of the movie. That song is the theme of the movie, and it should be Break the Ice, which is a better song.
Oh boy, that's a tough call for me, because I really like both of those songs.
They're really great. They're both great songs.
So before we get to my childhood story, two last things I want to touch on with this movie is, one, he cheated during the trials.
No, he was like, cheating, I can't get ahead. I don't know.
Yeah, he took sides.
Yeah, but is it cheating?
Everyone was supposed to stay on the trail, and he took shortcuts.
Was that a rule? Ain't nothing in the rule book says you got to stay in the lines.
He purposely was like, coloring outside the lines, and I'm just like going, dude, you're cheating. You're cheating. You're cheating.
I don't know.
I loved how slow those races were. Every bit was in slow motion.
Yeah, because because Hell Track at least felt like a normal pace race.
I know. Most of it was in slow motion too.
But when they were doing those other races, it was just like, we're gonna Zack Snyder slow mo this shit.
It really was.
Before the story, I do want to mention my favorite character in this movie. Just for a little bit.
God, I hope it's that friend that we don't know who just starts showing up halfway through the movie.
The guy who gets out of the race, and then
talking about Lucas.
The one who's tired of
Ben. I didn't even know Lucas was in the race until he shows up with his bike tire broken. And I'm like,
I was like, oh, some guy crashed.
Not him. Bob.
Bob
the short order cook.
Bob the blob.
Because there's one line, and it's the best delivery I've maybe ever seen in a movie. When they're in the restaurant, they're showing the thing, the press conference.
It's
got the news on, and he's sitting back, and the guy comes, and one of the guys comes around and grabs him, and is like, he's on TV, he's on TV. Hey, did you see that Clue's on TV? And he's like,
yeah.
I got eyes. His delivery of I Got Eyes is perfect.
It's really very fun.
So throwaway.
Now, if we don't talk about this, this is the final thing I want to touch on with this. With Bike Boogie, the fact that when they go to Bike Boogie, the lights in the gym go out, and then the lights come back on, and suddenly both Bert and Lori are sequined to death on their outfits. Glitter, glitter, Cruise, glitter, glitter, glitter.
Cruise sparkly pinstripes. I loved it.
He wore those, I think.
And then when the whole goddamn thing is over, which is just slow-mo stunt biking all over the place.
Really slow stunt biking.
And she like gets up and makes this like, hey, I'm Lori, L-shaped thing in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the whole thing is over, the lights come back on, they're back to their normal clothes.
They are.
Is this like a Frozen the Musical level costume change that happened when the lights go out?
I liked it. My big question, and I kept asking Roy this when they were doing their slow-mo stunts, I kept saying, is that hard? I honestly don't know if it's hard to do those things.
Well, I mean, and is it impressive? Because when he was trying to impress that one girl by doing that annoying thing with the hopping on the table. Look, you like this, don't you? Huh? You like
hopping
this.
Hopping and humping his bike.
Why did everybody in that high school look like they walked off the set of Knots Landing? They all look like they're 45 years old. Every single person in that high school was way... They were older than me. I'll tell you that.
They were old.
Yeah.
The one thing I do want to say that we cannot leave this without talking about.
Can't live it alone.
Okay.
Is before the race, before Hell Track starts, I need to hear your guys' take on the Wall of Chefs, but it's BMX bikes that happens
Oh, man.
Right before.
To God, there are three dudes in that scene. They just keep repeating the same three guys.
You're the most Canadian thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
From Canada, some dude.
Courtney the whole time is like, are they real? Are these real people?
No. And they are. Those are real bikers. That's why they, none of them could be like.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, what's that? What's that?
Yeah. Yeah, so that was interesting. There's only 45 of them, I guess, that they were going to tell us about.
I swear to God, it was the same three dudes that they just kept cycling. I swear to you.
It was the twins, Bart, Clue, and then one guy that they just put in a different helmet and just kept cycle through.
And then it's Crew. And then it's Canada's own.
Yeah, just made up names of bike parts.
I love how to make the guy from Texas look like he was from Texas, that they gave him a fucking mullet.
It's probably true.
He had a bad blonde mustache that was the same color of his skin and a mullet.
Fucking mullet. Like, from
same
the heart of Texas.
Mustache is wild.
All right, tell us your story. I want to hear your story.
I want to hear your story.
So,
Okay.
When this movie came out.
Just as an underscore. This is just for you.
So when this movie came out, I had a childhood friend. His name was Carrie, and he was obsessed with BMX biking, like on the same level as Crew in this movie. So this movie came out the same weekend as his birthday. So he was like, Mom, I want a BMX birthday party. And part of my birthday party is I want me and my friends to go see Rat. So sure enough, they drop us off at the theater. We're all in the theater watching Rad, and then we go back to his house for cake and ice cream. And when we arrive at his house, he has his very own BMX bike waiting for him. He flips out. He's super excited, gets on the bike, immediately tries doing one of the backflip stunts in the movie, lands on the ground, and is rushed to the hospital because he broke his arm on his birthday.
Good. I guess that answers your question about are they easy or not.
The flip is not easy. No. But, like, the thing where you're bouncing on the front tire and you're just, like, sort of humping the bike, maybe that's easy. I don't know.
Here's
that with the bike. When he would ride the, because he didn't live that far from school, so he'd ride the bike and he would do that, and he would like try to do all the stunts. So that's why I was giggling so hard during the opening credits, because I saw my friend Carrie
doing that same
shit in the schoolyard when I was growing
30 years later. That man moved to Ohio, bought tickets to go see Rad, and then sat next to me in the theater.
That guy.
God, here's my theater experience.
Yes.
The entire movie theater is packed. Not just my theater, the entire theater on what I've come to call Divorce Dad Thursday, because had Rad, and then you had Ghostbusters, and it was everybody's dad and kids going to eat one of the two things, apparently. I see a guy as I'm coming in, and he's wearing the Mongoose jersey. Bart's Mongoose jersey. He has it.
He likes the bad guy?
And I'm like, I wonder where this guy's going. And we get into the theater, and I mean, it is full. It is a full theater of people. And of course, I'm like, because I'm me, and I'm mentally ill, I was the first person in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
These people sit directly next to us. Like, I am shoulder to shoulder with this man and his Mongoose jersey.
And so you got a Christmas present early.
And then he starts talking to me, because I know this movie and I can speak to it. Why is this coming out now?
That's what we kept asking, because isn't it like the 36th or 38th?
So it isn't the release of the movie. It's the anniversary of something with it. And I don't know what it is, but there's an anniversary. And I'm like, I saw it before. I don't know what it is. And we're just talking back and forth. You know, I'm telling him that you can go to Walmart right now and buy the Mondo Steelbook for $25, which is absolutely worth it. Like, and we're just talking back and forth. He is super into this movie. His wife is like, I can't believe I'm fucking here. We watch this movie like once a week in my house. I don't understand. Like, my children refused to come. Like, they will not come. Like, we tried to buy them tickets. They were like, absolutely not. We are not going to this
movie. God embarrasses us with Brad.
So we're watching this movie, and he is commenting, like, under his breath throughout the film about the bike tricks, about the different things, all through it, until we get to Bike Boogie. Our audio mix was messed up.
Oh, no.
And the music was... the music mix was lower than like the vocal tracks. And this man, probably roughly my age, man, was losing his shit vocally and very loudly about how badly it sucks that he can't hear Mr. Mister as loud as he wants while Laurie and Clue do their bike dance in their shimmery, shiny, and this is a big dude, oh, like blue collar, like work boots man.
This is not a man who does BMX biking.
No, he might have in his
past. Once upon time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did the backflip and broke his arm on his birthday.
Just, this fucking sucks. This sucks. I can't believe this shit, like loudly.
Oh my God.
Like, this is... And I think at one point, and I'm not making this up, I'm trying to remember exactly what he says. I believe the exact quote is, this is supposed to be a fucking beautiful moment.
That's the best thing I've ever heard, Andrew.
And you know how, like, because we go to Cinemark. So you know how they have the reclining seats? Everybody has their own, like, recliner. Everybody's reclined back. During his rant, he's slowly... coming up to a full 90-degree position and continues to lean forward and then look back at the projection booth, which is, we're in the back row. The projection booth is like back here, and he's leaning forward and looking up while he's saying his things.
Oh my God.
What's wrong? What's wrong with this?
Oh my God.
And I am losing my shit. I'm like, this is a, yeah, yeah, no, exactly. Like, he's just like,
oh my God.
And I'm like, how is this happening? And then when the movie ends, that is everybody...
That's a much better experience than we had. Oh.
And then,
hey, no, we've got some guests coming on the show. So
I so badly wanted to ask him to be on the show. Because at the end, he starts an ovation. So everybody... He starts the clap, and everybody has to clap at the end of the movie.
Was he crying?
And the whole 108 people are like... As people are getting up to leave.
Shout out to Ohio.
So wow, I did.
Ohio loves this movie.
Have to come back and watch it again just to make sure, because I did have his commentary going in my ear the whole time.
So I had to go back and watch the boogie to make sure it was actually a fucking beautiful moment.
Yeah. One other thing.
Yeah, go for it.
And this is coming from Lacey as much as it is me.
Producer Lacey.
When did we figure out that Kathy and tall friend were together?
Absolutely instantly.
Yeah.
See? I did not.
Right away I knew they were boyfriend.
I thought it was two dating people and their friend.
See, I did not get that. I'll be honest, the first time I watched it, 3/4 of the movie, I didn't even know that was supposed to be a girl.
Either that or he's her beard.
Tomboys are allowed to have agency in this world.
Listen, it's fine. I'm not drawing a line on anybody's identity here. I just thought it was another person riding bikes. I didn't. All of these people were so ambiguous that I didn't know what was going on. Most of them we don't see without helmets on the whole time.
No, are you trying to suggest that there was not proper character development in this film?
You know,
both of them were getting strange with each other.
Don't start they were with the strange ass-lighting thing.
For sure. They were ass-lighting all the day long.
Does ass-light exist outside of this movie? No, or was it specifically?
No.
Maybe in Canada. Hey, Canadians. Listen, if you're Canadian.
You got log shoes.
I wish at, I was not sliding with you right now.
At this film sexist.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention to anything. I didn't even know it was her that bought the shirt in the store, which was a weird scene, by the way. That was a really strange scene. I don't know why it was in the movie if it wasn't to tell me that she was dating the guy, which I just figured out later because she's wearing
the
shirt.
That was the only purpose that movie had for those who didn't figure it out. It's like, hey, they're dating. Okay, now let's move on.
Because the two bitches come in and they're like, the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's about their 25-second scene.
Fashion.
So anyway, yes. Everybody should watch this movie at least three times.
I was going to say, we recommend this movie.
On the way out, there were the two extremely high guys. Apologize. Sorry if we were too loud. We were like, you weren't loud at all. It was totally fine. We were talking ourselves. And something came up. It said something about us being podcasters. And they were like, oh, snap, we're going to listen. We're going to come on the show. Okay, bye. Did not catch our names. We didn't catch their names. They don't know the name of the podcast. But if you're listening.
So if you're listening, let us know.
Two guys that got real high at the Grapevine Mills Rad.
So I think it's safe to say we recommend this movie.
Loved it.
I love this movie. Love this movie.
It's a cult film for a reason. And it is on Tubi for those who want to watch it before you buy it. It is on Tubi.
Buy it.
But just go out and buy it.
End cap. Buy it.
She's Play Thunder in your heart. So is this going to take
you got lightning in your what do you have lightning in?
Your moves are like lightning.
Your moves are like lightning.
Oh, lightning.
Is this going to replace the Shambhala theme for you?
God, no.
No.
This is my version. No. This is my version of Whose Land Is This? That's what Thunder in Your Heart is. Speaking of getting strange,
No.
I am a married
having sex with strangers, which apparently they don't. Know in this whole thing because they play it during Uncle Tickle's chase scene. Roy, what movies are we going to be doing in our repertory?
Yeah.
Tournament of Champions.
We're doing something that we've never done before in the show. We're getting serious with documentaries on this show. Yeah.
They're gone.
And the thing is that we're not like doing just bizarro what the fuck.
Yes, big hat.
My documentary hat when I have to get.
We're actually doing like some biggies. I will let you know that my documentary I originally chose, I said no to because I actually started watching it. And the reenactments of the child cannibalism sequences.
They reenacted? What in the world is this documentary?
So I went.
What was it?
No.
God!
Pick it up on my phone real quick on the Tubi app. So yeah, I immediately vetoed it and said, "No, we are not doing this one." hold on, real quick. So, come on, Tubi. I don't care about your logo.
In the meantime, Andy, what are you doing for your documentary? Remind us.
Oh, I'm doing The Aristocrats.
Perfect.
Yeah, I love it. Nothing more needs to be said about it.
No, we know. If you know, you know. And if you don't, you should probably go watch that by now.
Oh, mine was originally going to be Albert Fish in Sin. He found Foundation Salvation.
Oh, right.
Which was about the Depression era serial killer who would capture children and eat them.
Right.
I was like, I was not ready for reenactments.
You know, for kids.
Yeah. So we're doing The Aristocrats, which is probably the less serious of the three that we're doing.
It is.
Sure.
Courtney, which one did you choose?
Mine, I refuse to tell you much about it because I want you to go in as blind as possible, but this is called The Woman Who Wasn't There. And it is kind of true crime, but it's really more just sort of a wild story than anything.
Okay.
And there. Oh, hello, train.
Yeah, welcome to. This is what happens when I'm on an actual mic. There's a train that runs by my house.
Wow.
I loved it. It felt very salt of the earth.
Shout out to Ohio.
There's thunder in my heart. I go ass sliding beside that train.
Your moves are like a lightning.
Yeah, a lightning.
So there was a reason why I asked if both of you had Max, is because the documentary I chose is not on Tubi, but it is on Max. And it takes us back to a very special bygone era in the 90s of late night television infomercials. And probably one of the most famous and infamous ones ever made. My choice is Call Me Now, The Rise and Fall of Miss
Cleveland. Oh, shit.
I love this documentary.
This is good. This is very good.
We're doing the Miss Cleo documentary.
I'm so excited. We got it. We did full circle. We got all the kinds of documentary.
We did. There's no other documentaries.
It's nuts.
We got Smash Brothers.
Why true crime now?
We got true crime. We've got the comedy, and we've got the nostalgia time period. What really happened? But that's not all we're doing.
Oh yeah, we got to book it. We got a hard out on one of our boys here, so let's hit it.
Spin it.
Because of some stuff that's coming up with me this summer, we're going to be doing a lot of what I call pre-bagging of episodes.
What's bonefish? Your protein is bonefish?
So
you got to use a spiralizer.
So we are going to go ahead and choose our three revisits for July right now. So just to remind you guys and the audience what our three choices were. The finalists are Aline, Hentai Cayman, Can't Stop the Music, Rats, Night of Terror,
yes,
Popeye the Movie, the Star Wars Holiday Special, Bad Ben,
yes,
Mother Goose Rock and Rhyme,
seems bad.
Dr. Caligari, The Good Exorcist, The Curve, Honky, The Vampire Happening, The Terror of Tiny Town.
Oh my God.
Dot and the Kangaroo. The
now
Room.
A musical, by the way.
The Room, Cop Rock, Evil Speak, and Spider Baby.
Spider.
So we're going to be doing three choices here.
What are the odds I've seen any of them? I wonder what that... Who's good at math? Not now. We don't have time for that.
Alrighty. Here we go. Spinning movie number one.
I paid the Russians a lot of money to fix this for Bad Ben, so God, I hope it works.
By the way, I just got a pop-up saying that I need to go and get some bone broth that has no carrageenan in it. Movie number one is The Room.
Hey, I've never seen it. That'll be really? Fun. Legitimately,
I thought I was the only one that had never seen it until I saw it.
Somehow I missed it. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
All right. So movie number one is The Room. Here we go with movie number two. Spinning. And now it's telling me that I can get free next day delivery at over 98% of the United States.
Okay.
Our second movie is Can't Stop the Music.
Yay! All right. I've seen all most of that.
So far, so far, so good.
We're doing okay. This is honestly fine so far.
We're doing okay so far. All right. Here we go. God. The third movie is... And now I've got a advertisement for Ashley and, oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
Courtney. It's Hentai Cayman.
Oh, God.
I'll tell Franco and Jeremy.
Get them on the phone.
So our three, God, what a combo. Our three films that we are revisiting are The Room, Can't Stop the Music, and Hentai Cayman. For those who have been with us for a long time, you
probably remember how Andy and I reacted to Hentai Kamen. And oh, Franco, by the way, throughout all Alcon was to us like, you know, there's a sequel, right?
He kept saying it. I was like, no, I didn't, because this isn't anything. You made this movie up.
So
I just texted them both. I can't tell who's texting. There's already three dots. I can't tell who it is. Oh, yes, all capitals. That's Franco.
Yeah, it would be. He's been waiting for this. Franco, he's been waiting for this. He's just been sitting in a dark room with a phone, just waiting. No matter how long it took, he was just going to wait until the call came.
It came. He's ready.
Yeah,
he's opening up a closet that's got all kinds of wild cosplays that I don't know what they're from.
Yeah, eye patches. So many eye patches.
They're well made, and I'm like, that looks really cool. I don't know what it is, though.
Courtney, there's nothing I can do to prepare you for Hentai Kamen. Nothing.
Nope.
Well, there's nothing I can do to prepare you for The Room or Can't Stop the Music either. There's nothing to prepare you for these three movies. The difference is, two of them,
at least I have an idea of what I'm in for.
One of them is not going to scar you, and I'll give you a hint. It's the musical one between the three. Because The Room and Hentai Kamen are going to scar you. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah.
That's our episode, folks, and that's going to be our revisit. So you have that to look forward to in July there. Next month, we are doing documentaries.
Highbrow month.
And then May, we're doing our first ever miniseries.
Are you going to tell us what it is yet?
Should I?
Tell us.
Do you want to know?
Tell us. Tell us.
I'm doing my fastest blinks for you.
Well, Thornbirds. Thornbirds. The Stand.
Original Shogun.
Real quick, before I decide to tell you if we're going to do that or not. I did make a message today to you guys telling you that I stumbled upon a movie that was a straight to home video movie in the 90s, in 1990 to be exact.
Oh, you did text us this.
That stars Sean Astin.
Who's my best friend.
And I didn't know that this movie existed until now. So we're also doing this in May.
Oh.
The movie is called The Willies. And it's about kids that are camping who are trying to tell stories that will scare the willies out of them.
Mm.
Okay.
Right. At least that's what I gathered from the trailer. And I'm going to let you know, Sean Astin looks like he came straight off the set of Rudy to make this movie.
I mean, cult.
Right. So, okay, cool, done.
Sure, I'll tell you.
Do I need to watch it tonight? All right,
I'll let you guys know what the miniseries is. So the miniseries that we're doing,
something good, please,
is a miniseries that came from 1986.
So the year of Rad.
And it was on for 5 nights.
Okay.
And they wanted this to be a huge hit. For the time, it was a big budgeted, all-star cast miniseries, but it bombed because people didn't get what it was supposed to be when they laid it out clearly what this was supposed to be, and that was supposed to, then that is that this was a parody of primetime soap operas. So Falcon Crest, Dallas, Dynasty, and Knott's Landing were all made fun of with this miniseries. The miniseries is called Fresno, and Fresno is about the highs and lows of the rich and famous in Fresno, California, who run the raisin plantations. Starring, are you ready?
Sure.
I already have 30 questions, but sure, go ahead.
Starring Carol Burnett, Dabney Coleman, Terry Garr, Charles Grodin, and Gregory Harrison. Carol Burnett plays the like stern, a little bit evil and a little bit cold matriarch of the family, a la Falcon Crest. Dabney Coleman plays the kind of racist, kind of sexist, egotistical man out a la Dynasty that's in charge of the of everything. Terry Garr is the hoe, a la Alexis from Dynasty. And Charles Grodin is in total J.R. Ewing mode.
Okay.
This film, or this miniseries, like I said, bombed. Bombed hardcore. The film, this miniseries also stars Bill Paxton, Jerry Van Dyke, Michael Richards, Tom Poston, and unfortunately, Jeffrey Jones.
Okay.
Someone has uploaded the entire thing onto YouTube, squished into a 4.5-hour film, free of commercials and everything. The very first night, U.S. viewers, it had 19.7 million viewers. The very next night, they lost 1/3 of the viewers. No one tuned in for the second half. The episodes don't even have names, except for the very first episode, which was called The Raisin Basket of the World. The guy who directed this, his name is Jeff Blecker. He also helped
write Jeff Blecker?
Jeff Blecker.
Of Blecker Street Pictures?
He did a lot of Broadway and off-Broadway stuff, but his directing credits for television were Dynasty, Knott's Landing, Trapper John M.D., Lou Grant, Welcome Back Carter, Hill Street Blues, Remington Steele, and The Stockard Channing Show.
Why aren't we watching The Stockard Channing Show?
I found out that The Stockard Channing Show is a thing that exists.
He is an Emmy Award-winning director for a limited series or special called Concealed Enemies. He's also won an Emmy Award for directing for Hill Street Blues, and he's also won a number of Tony Awards.
Okay. I'm down.
All right.
I'll watch anything. I've proven that.
But, listen, we got a hard out from like a half hour ago. So we should probably let our boy get out of here.
So yeah, that's our miniseries, is Fresno. So get ready for the magic that is the highs and lows and the power of the Fresno, California Raisin Empire.
Okay.
I'm just going to save them. I'm going to save my questions.
Yeah, we've got so many, but we got months.
Yeah.
To come up with more. 2 months
for me to come up with more questions.
All right, gangs, thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we will be back with our documentaries next month.
Yes! Hi, Brahma!
Talk to y'all later!
Bye!